Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, under the years 1 to 23. Now, there's God. We say this is what it's meant. Romans chapter 14, beginning verse 1. Accept anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about disputed matters. One person believes that he may eat anything, while one who is weak eats only vegetables. One who eats must not look down on one who does not eat, and one who does not eat must not judge one who does, because God has accepted him. Who are you to judge another household servant? Before his own Lord he stands or falls, and he will stand because the Lord is able to make him stand. One person judges one day to be more important than another day. Someone else judges every day to be the same. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. Whoever observes the day observes it from the honor of the Lord. Whoever eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. And whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat again. And he gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and returned to the life of this, that he might be Lord over both the dead and the living. But you, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will give praise to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Still, to someone who considers a thing to be unclean, to that one it is unclean. For if your brother or sister is hurt by what you eat, you are no longer walking according to the left. Do not destroy by what you eat someone for whom Christ has died. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and receives human approval. So then, let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong to make someone fall by what he eats. It is a good thing not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever doubts stands condemned to be eaten, because his eating is not for faith. And everything that is not for faith is sin. Sunday we were looking at the verses in chapter 13, and we looked at what kind of citizen should we be. We need to remind ourselves that God has called us to be good citizens, to obey the governing authorities above us, unless they call on us to do something God says not to do, or not to do something God tells us to do. For example, the government in Israel at the time of Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, told the apostles, don't go talking about Jesus anymore. Well, the government told them not to talk about Jesus. So in chapter 4 of Acts, they pray, God gives us power to speak with boldness. And in chapter 5, when they're confronted by the Sanhedrin, the government in Israel, they said, judge for yourselves, government. Should we obey you, or should we obey God? Well, that's the same truth for us. We need to obey God primarily. primarily as our focus. And then if it is something the government tells us to do or not to do that doesn't violate what God has said, we follow what the government says. Because God has allowed governments to be in place. If God didn't want the results of last night's election to happen that way, it wouldn't have happened that way. Now, a lot of times God allows us to have the leaders to teach us a lesson. Mainly, the teachers we need to depend on Him, not some man to solve the solution. God is the one to solve our problems. We need to focus on Him. But He has established governments to be His instruments to remind us that there is a power greater than us. Now, can you imagine what some people want? There are people that want what they call anarchy. That means no government at all. Everybody does whatever they want. Well, it's almost like that each night in Houston. And you see the results of the news the next morning. How many people were hurt last night in Houston? How many people lost their lives last night in Houston? They don't even report how many robberies there are, but there are too many accounts. People doing what they want, even in the midst of having a police presence somewhere in the area. Imagine there's no police presence at all. What people are going to do, because sinners want to sin, want to do what they want. Well, God has established governments over men so that we can be reminded there is a government, an ultimate government, and it's God who is over all of us. Our founding fathers understood that God was the ultimate authority. That's why in our Declaration of Independence, they wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." Now, at that time, they could say, it should be obvious to everybody, but it's not necessarily obvious today. We hold these truths to be self-evident. I mean, it's clear as day, you should be, everybody knows it, that all men are created equal. That tells us we are created equal. And if they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, our Creator gives us our rights, not the government. And that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government. Government is from God. Our rights are from God. God has established governments to remind us there is an authority greater than us. Well, what kind of citizen should we be? We need to remember God's in charge. And we need to remember that our attitude should be love for one another. There's a lot of anger and lack of love that's been seen in the last few months, almost years, of political campaigns. A lot of hatred going back and forth. And there are people trying to stir up hatred among different people. Well, God says we as Christians should be reminded to show love for all. Jesus even said, to love your enemies. And Paul repeated that. In the end of chapter 12 said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Take care of your enemy's need. But we also need to remember that the time where we're going to face God is soon. closer now than when you first believed. Christ is coming back soon. But also, if Christ delays, we're going to see him soon. And as today's passage tells us, every knee will bow and every tongue will praise. We need to remember that even God, though God has given us freedom, how should we use our freedom? And that's what chapter 14 is talking about. We are free from the consequences of sin. And we are free from trying to please God by keeping the law. So if we're not going to get right with God by keeping the law, that's not how we're saved. We're saved by faith. How should we use this freedom? Paul then begins addressing it. We need to consider those who are weaker in faith than us. Corinthians, and then to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Beginning verse 11. We have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain, since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation. Again, you need milk, not solid food. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness, because he is an infant. But solid food will mature for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. And then he begins listing the basic principles of Christianity. Not laying again a foundation of repentance and dead works. Faith in God. Teaching about ritual washing. Laying on a banner. The resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment. And we will do this if God permits. But those are some of the basic principles of Christianity. And Paul is saying in verse 1 of chapter 14 of Romans, accept anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about disputed matters. There are some disputed matters. Now, I remember in seminary, I was looking forward to studying courses on how things end. This fancy word is eschatology. That's when we look at the book of Revelation, how things end. Well, there are people that hold the positions that are different from what I hold. As I said in Scripture, say it's the best understanding of Scripture is Christ is coming to rapture his church before the tribulation, and then there will be a little 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. That's called a pre-trib, pre-millennial view. But there are some people that hold an amillennial view. Now, if you know about the term a, anytime it's in front of the word, it means not. So, I was very disappointed when the professor that was teaching the eschatology course that I signed up for was an millennialist. He didn't believe that there was an actual 1,000-year reign of Christ. The millennialist view said it's all metaphor, and things are going to get progressively better, and they're all going to work out. Thank you. That was the worst part. The worst part was he handed us all a copy of his notes. Put it on an overhead projector. And then read. Imagine having a semester-long course. You've already got the notes. You're listening to the professor read the overhead slide of the notes he's already put your copy of. We did learn that you can ask him questions, and he will, now, Mary is telling you, you can be with, answer lots of questions. But we also learned, when we ask him any questions, we can't, running his time. If he did that, no more questions today. But I still learned in that class. But should we argue with another believer about whether they're right with God because they hold a different view of how they live? Does that matter about their salvation? No. Salvation is by faith, not by works. It's not what you believe about how things end. It's what you believe about what Jesus has done in your sin debt. There's also a dispute about should the Christian keep the Jewish dietary laws? Is a Christian required to keep eat a kosher diet? Now, there are some Christian groups that say you need to eat a kosher diet if you're a Christian. And you can go to their little store and they have kosher food for you. They also say you need to worship God on the Sabbath day. And if you don't, you're not right with God. But that's what Paul's addressing right here. Some people worship God on one day of the week. Some worship Him every day of the week. It doesn't say in Scripture you can only worship God on a certain day of the week. You're to worship God and not judge someone else because they choose a different day of worship. You shouldn't judge someone because they don't eat what you think they should eat. They don't stick to the kosher diet. Now, I will tell you, a kosher diet has the best cuts of meat and foods. You know, a vegetable is not, not just very good. The best hot dog you can get is a Hebrew national hot dog. Now, most people know about hot dogs. You don't want to ask about what's in them. But a Hebrew national is a kosher hot dog. So you know it's only got the white cuts of meat. But when you go to buy a Hebrew National hot dog, you will find out that you have to pay very much extra to know it's got good stuff in it, but they are good hot dogs. What should we do? We need to remember that it is Jesus Christ that determines whether we enter heaven or hell. And it's what we do with his payment from our sin debt. If Christ had accepted a sinner into his family as being a Christian, who are we to say, you use the wrong version of the Bible, so you're not going to heaven? Or you don't eat the right food, you're not going to heaven. Or you don't worship on the right day, you're not going to heaven. Well, if Jesus says they're going to heaven, who are we to argue with what Jesus said? Now, we need to understand, we have freedom. Anything's okay to eat. In Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7, Jesus deals with eating, that whatever you eat is okay. Just give thanks to God. What you eat doesn't make you unclean. That's what comes out of the heart. Out of the mouth, it makes one thing, not what goes in. Even Peter had a little trouble accepting this lesson. God gave him a vision when he was up on the rooftop of Joppa, which is just near Joppa. But he was there. Now, Peter was not there when the missile attack was here. Okay. Just to make sure I understand, he wasn't there this year. 2,000 years ago, when Peter was in Joppa, servants of a Gentile named Cornelius came knocking at the door, wanting Peter to go visit this Gentile Cornelius. Well, while they're on the way to Peter's place, Peter has a vision. A sheep is let down from heaven, and all we know that Peter had been taught in the Jewish dietary restrictions of being unclean animals. And God said, kill me. No, I'll never do that. And God told him this, because God's meant to be, don't you call unclean. Just reminding Peter of a lesson. But Peter still had problems with this. In the second chapter of Galatians, Paul relates that when Peter was with them before the Jewish believers from Jerusalem came up, he ate everything. So when the Jewish believers came, then he went back to a kosher diet. And Paul called him out and said, you're being a hypocrite. Peter was causing people to stumble because of his going back and forth. Does it matter what you eat? And that's what Paul is addressing here in chapter 4 of Romans. Think about your brother. Does what you eat and drink cause a new believer who is weak in faith to stumble? Because our key is at the end of chapter 14. Everything that is not from faith is sin. So if somebody thinks it's wrong to eat or drink something, and they see you eat and drink it, so they say, oh, I'll do it too. But they think it's sin, and it's wrong for them. We should be thinking about others with our freedom. Don't let our freedom that we have in Christ cause a weaker brother to stumble. Watch this in verse 13, chapter 14. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister. I know and am persuaded the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Still, if someone is considered to think he is clean for that one, it is unclean. For if your brother or sister is hurt by what you eat, you are no longer walking according to God. If your freedom hurts another believer, you're not walking according to God. And we need to focus on loving one another, even though we have freedom. We should not be judging others, saying, well, I know this is right, you're not doing that. Or you're doing something that I think is wrong. Let us not judge one another on disputed matters. There are some things that are not disputed. Salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. If someone's trying to say there's salvation another way, that is not a disputed matter. That's a clear principle and foundation of the biblical. We are all sinners. That's not a disputed matter. We are all saved by grace from the strength of this God. That's not a disputed matter. God is in charge. That's not a disputed matter. God wants us to follow what He says is right and wrong, and not do what He says is wrong. That's not a disputed matter. But there are some things. Okay, the reach to worship. What food should be? What version of mind should be? Should you use Welch's Great Juice for communion or the No Name brand? I will vote for Welch's Great Juice because I like the taste of it. But it's okay. You can have communion with great soda. For that matter, you can have it with lemonade. It's what it represents. Blood and body. Now, probably should be great, but the matter is where we're going to cause all right, pray for our country. I pray for Christians to truly stand up and be Christians, not cowering down and being silent, but speaking the truth and love about how to be saved. Let us not attack other Christians over disputed matters, but let us remain true and strength, loving one another, bearing the burden of weaker believers, encouraging one another more, and following your Lord.